Hi, I'm Tracy Koga, and thanks for downloading this podcast from ilikehugh.com. If you can, give us a follow or a subscribe. And remember that all the information about the guests in today's episode can be found at ilikehugh.com. Now, let's get started. Hello everyone, welcome to the Hugh virtual chat, and it is our 60th show. Wow, I can't believe that we've come this far. It's been a crazy ride. You know what, and I want to just thank all of the ladies that have been guests on the show and have supported us. And look at, hello, happy 60th everybody. Hello Cynthia, it's so good to see you. Hi Susan, hi Allie. You look, oh my goodness, I love the hair, Allie. It's just so nice and... Now, I think everybody's on mute, so you can unmute yourselves. We'll just make this a free-for-all. I think some more ladies are going to join in. I know Rana is. Cynthia, our London correspondent. So much is happening, right? Obviously, yeah. The sadness of Prince Philip passing. Yeah. What's sort of been the atmosphere, the feelings there?
I would say that it's generally subdued. You know, the royal family is an interesting relationship with the English people. I think there's a lot of, they really, you know, respect the queen. Mm-hmm. After that, it gets really shaky. So, I mean, it's very sad. Not only because of his passing, but mm-hmm. because, you know, he was the consort for the queen for 73 years that they were married. Yeah. So, I mean, any relationship, that's absolutely, you know, impactful for everyone involved.
Oh, yes.
And of course, as a family, this is, you know, in a matriarchal family, this is, you know, definitely the most senior gentleman in the family that is obviously going to leave his mark on everyone.
Well, and I guess there's a little bit of excitement too that Prince Harry will be coming back home for the small funeral. Is that? I think a lot of people are, you know, excited for him to be coming home.
Yeah, well, he's here already.
Oh, he is.
Yep. And they announced it. So, I mean, the hope is that between William and himself, they'll be able to address the discrepancies or the differences, and mm-hmm. you know, maybe they'll learn acceptance without understanding.
Cynthia, I think you should be there, just kind of intervene and say, "Hey, boys,
you know, the palace can just give me a call and just say, Sin, come on down.
Like, come on, okay. Yeah, Queen Bee." help me.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. And anyways, but you're staying safe and
yes.
Everything good? And you're vaccinated too and everything?
I've had my first, I'm waiting for my second, and
perfect.
We're now doing 40 and older are being wow. called for their vaccines right now. You know, we're over 40 million vaccinated.
Crazy.
To deal with it. Yeah. I mean, at the pace they're going, I think it'll be May. I'll be going to get my second vaccine, which is at least a month earlier than I was planning.
Yeah.
So will
you travel again as soon as you get that second dose?
I might travel in the country and I might travel to Europe. You know, there's a bit of financial impact that, mm-hmm. You know, the pandemic has kind of hit, so that doesn't help. But it's also, do I feel completely safe? And if I know the UK has been, you know, vaccinated to the level that it has, you know, Ireland, you know, Wales, Scotland, not necessarily the same. So even traveling within the same UK nation is different, let alone traveling to Europe or anywhere else. So, and also in terms of the travel, I mean, my travel bug's kind of quiet right now. It's not making me want to travel. So yeah, we'll kind of play it by ear.
Oh, good. Well, you know what? And you still do have to come back to Winnipeg. Although you would not want to be here today, Cynthia, because we have about a foot of snow. I know. That was our expression. Yeah, I know. We shake our heads, but it will go away. It will go away.
It will. Yep. Spring comes every year. So, I know. It'll get there.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, and welcome Kristen and Charlotte and Rana. Hey, hello. Well, Rana, I know. I'm going to get to you. I did a little research and everything, and so I've got lots of questions. I'll just inform you girls later on what this all is, but I'm going to go to my good friend, Allie. Allie, it's been a while, but you've been busy, and I know that all things with the Upside Down Tree, great, great charity organization, and a big, big fundraiser. Finally, it's almost here, a week away, right? And so take it away. You can do another big push and promotion. It sounds like a fabulous night.
Yes, I can't believe we're already coming back to the whole, we're going to talk about it as it gets closer. And now we're actually talking about it because it's right around the corner, 9 days away.
Yeah.
It's been fantastic. I really was hesitant about a virtual event. Like I said last time, I was super hesitant, but honestly, the push from the community and the support from the community has made it so much better. It doesn't even feel like we're reaching out and kind of stepping on toes. It's been really accepted. So everything's been really great. So yes, April 22nd, I am so excited. Typically the Laughmore Give More Comedy Night, they will choose two recipients to receive money, and it will be registered charities. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of like they cut it in half and then they choose the two. And it's typically been in the past for children and for moms. And this year we sat down with the entire family and we created this tree of support. So the tree of support has six different leaves, and each leaf means so much to each member of the family. And that's the way that we kind of wanted to support everything moving forward this entire year. So we do have our topics that are out now for the leaves, which are environment, mental health, Indigenous, and wellness. And then we have the arts, because they have also suffered incredibly hard, and poverty. So using those six different leaves that we have, we wanted to find six different registered charities that vision and mission kind of uphold those causes. And so we did. We found them, and they will be announced soon. And we're really, really excited about it, because we're going to be able to distribute 10 grand to each one of the Leafs. So our goal is 60 grand altogether this year. And I think that kind of shows what we've been really pushing for as a community local push when it comes to fundraising and when it comes to raising awareness. So April 22nd, super great incentive, $25 for a ticket. Cynthia, you could watch it, because it could be anywhere at the time. Yeah. You just got to make sure your time zones are on right, because I'm terrible with time zones. So April 22nd, $25 ticket gets you one viewing ticket. So if you're at home with your family and you want to all just have one night of comedy, you can all watch it with one viewing ticket. Every time you purchase a viewing ticket, you get entered into a draw, and the draw is for $200 to Pizza Gusteria. And we also have a bottle of wine that will be going with that. So I'm really, really excited. And then the second part, which is the super neat piece that I'm having so much fun kind of organizing, is a $100 option, and it's a dinner package. So we've teamed up with Academy Hospitality, and they have a bunch of different restaurants and local businesses under their name, one of them being Matula Grocery. And so we went there, we filmed their culinary expertise. We've already done that piece. They're delivering a beautiful meal, either a vegetarian option or just a regular option, as well as all the ingredients for a fantastic signature cocktail that we've created for this evening. So we have two mixology duos that are going to be on the screen and showing us how to do it. They're using local ingredients like kombucha and rosemary from gardens here in Winnipeg. So it's all going to be local. You get sent right to your house, and we deliver it all to your house. You get to follow along, have the dinner and have the drink, and kind of learn about the drink, learn about what you're doing, what kombucha does to your body. And we already filmed the comedians, and let me tell you, I was hysterical. Like, I was beside myself. I don't know if it's the lack of socialization or what it was, but it was the best night that I've had in so long. We filmed them last week, and so we have it all pre-recorded so that there's no technical issues on the day of. You just get your link, you get to join, and there's just one good night, smooth sailing, and everything's going to be incredible. So it was really, really funny. Our headliner is a Juno nominee winner, and he's local also here in Canada, Derek Seguin. And yeah, I know these comedians are incredible. So basically, the $25 ticket is a steal of a deal to have such a great night. And then you also get a tax receipt, and you also get to support the six different charities. The $25 goes in right away and then gets split up six different ways. So it's incredible. If you want to do a date night, perfect date night. We literally do all the work for you. We're bringing the food to you, and it's going to be good food too. It's not going to be like social food where you just kind of have to choose one little option. So it's going to be good food. It's going to be fantastic. It's been overwhelming with all the support. So I would really, really encourage everybody to check it out. And I will put all the information here in the chat, but check it out. The causes and the organizations that we've supported so far, we've sent them kind of a little letter of, you know, what do you do? Why do you do it? Where do you do it? And what's the cause and need for it? And they're sending all that back. So they will be showcased in the actual slides. So there's going to be information about them. And it's just going to be kind of a big community joint effort with this comedy night. And it's going to be really, really fantastic. I've been loving speaking with these agencies that we've chosen. They're so excited. Everybody can use a little bit of good news right now. So reaching out to them and letting them know that they are one of the recipients has been fantastic. And these organizations are super, super thankful, which makes it even better. So April 22nd, 9 days away, guys. So excited. Definitely push it out there. Just grab a ticket, have a good night. And if people can't make it, obviously there are, you can donate to the event too. But the good thing about it is you can donate at large, or you can donate to one of the causes that mean a lot to you. So you know that directly, like each one of your dollars is going directly to, say, poverty or wherever it may be. So we are ensuring that people can choose where they want to donate to rather than just one big lump sum. So I'm super excited. It's going to be so much fun. Supporting local is huge for me. And I think that this is going to be not only just a really good laugh, but a really nice community engagement.
Definitely. Wow. I know it's so much work, but you know what? It's all going to be so worth it. And yes, we all need a good laugh. I definitely agree. Definitely agree. You know, also too, Allie, maybe just give a little history about Upside Down Tree too, and you know, just for other people out there, just to know more about what the organization is all about.
For sure. So in 2014 is when Carmen Oleska, our founder, kind of was inspired. And she was inspired by a tree that I always make the name the wrong. I cannot say it, but I'm going to give it a go. It's the baobab tree. Maybe you guys know it. It's in Madagascar. Basically, it looks like the roots are kind of seeking for support up in the air. So its roots are kind of like twisted this way, which is where the Upside Down Tree kind of came from. So she saw a parallel between this and small startup charities that need support, financial impact to grow their support system, to get financial support, even if it's just a social boost or a social impact like that. And she saw a need and a parallel between that and philanthropy and how she can make it all happen. So since 2014, inception day, we've raised over $1.415 million for different startup charities across the entire world and then here locally. And since then, we've really kind of expanded our social impact ourselves, which has been a huge help for us getting known out there. So we're on a smaller scale than areas like, you know, United Way or different foundations. But there is an opportunity that if you are a registered charity, you can go on our website and apply for support. There's a page up there which we will provide support. It's not just financial support either. It's if you need a helping hand at an event, or you need some marketing expertise or some graphic design, or even, you know, some public speaking tips like that, like more than just extending our support, but more of an extension of who we are and who the foundation is as well, just giving out that kind of support. So through that, we've been able to do some incredible things. 2018 was when Kid Think was born, and that's when Carmen kind of started funding the Kid Think area, and that's when we kind of moved on from there. And now right now with Upside Down Tree is we're having the six areas support. Maybe it's going to be 2021 that we look at it, maybe it'll go on into 2022, these six areas. But we have a podcast starting. You know, we've really, really expanded in our growth. We're now mentoring people from across the world. We're also mentoring students here locally and being able to provide them with some business expertise as well. And it's just been a really incredible incredible time. We have a mm-hmm. store in the back of our, this one's been fun. We've had a little clothing store in the back of our, shop right now. So I always say, like, you know, my work is a Jill of all trades. It's got everything in there. In the back, we have our clothing that we sell, which directly goes funds back into Kid Think, right? So there's just so many amazing things that we're doing through that organization. And all of it in the end is to help out the community. Being one of the things we're doing right now is we've joined on with the city for the 1 million tree challenge. So our mm-hmm. goal is to actually start up a tree garden here somewhere in Winnipeg. And we're just waiting for parks that are in Winnipeg so that we don't just go plant trees and it doesn't count for a million trees. And mm-hmm. the garden itself is going to be something that will be a legacy, right? It's going to be something that our families can go for years after and see the importance of the environment, see how important it is to make sure that we have the right kind of trees, that we're diversifying our trees enough. And it's going to be, charities are going to have their own benches organized to them. So it's, again, everything comes back to community and seeing how all these small little pieces and all how little pieces that we can do on our own just make the world of a difference and the world of a difference for somebody else, right? So doing our small tree garden may be 50 trees, but it's still putting ourselves in there and what we can do. And the end goal for all of our endeavors and any initiative that we do is always to inspire others to want to do the same thing. And so understanding that people may not be able to do it on a large scale like we are, making sure that the means are there for them so that they can do what they want to do and they want to support. So yeah. That's just been incredible. And Carmen's definitely spearheaded this to a level of where I think we can really, really help so many people here in Winnipeg.
Wow. Well, so doing so much good. And I think right now, definitely in what we're in, and who knows what the future is going to hold in the next few weeks. And yeah, I think that, you know, a good event like that, supporting so many different organizations, is something really to be proud of. So congratulations, Ali. I know that you worked so hard. And, you know, congratulations definitely to Carmen. But so I'm just totally off topic, Charlotte. How is the house selling going? Is it sold? Can we talk about it?
offers tonight at 7. Oh. And yeah, so I kind of know what's going on. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but there's some offers. So
was there a lot of people going through?
You know what? A good amount. Yeah.
Yeah. I know it. I know the market is really crazy, and especially like between yesterday and today, right? It's kind of not great for home showings, but yeah, I know. Well, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. And so, how are things with you?
Good. Good. Kristen and I are dreaming big today and tomorrow of everything that we would love to have. Supports for when our families were really, really struggling. So I was a little distracted because a client of ours in the States is wanting us to create some stuff. So actually you're involved in this, Tracy. So this is somewhere that Kristen and I spent a lot of time in creation and supporting families of everything that was missing when our family was struggling if one little thing could have made a difference, what was that and the impact it had. And the last couple of weeks, Kristen and I have been working with a lot of families and all different kinds of stories. You know, parents struggling, and it's not always just the children that are struggling, but, you know, parents as well. And and the impact that has, like we talk all the time about, just the, you know, that parallel process when one is struggling, you know, it affects everybody in the family. But then just the impact of COVID, because a lot of people are at their, like, they're like, I'm done. And we're really, really seeing that. I'm seeing everybody's head nodding on that. and then how, you know, what does that look like, and how to support yourself and everybody around you? Cause we're so close, like, you know, everybody's getting vaccinated and, you know, but, you know, this looming, we may go back into lockdown because of, you know, what's going on. So, you know, that makes it difficult. But you know what? Kristen and I are smiling because when more and more organizations see the need for supports for family, that just makes my heart full. I don't know, Kristen, what do you think? I know you're beaming too.
I love working for Charlotte and Robin because they love dreaming big. And that's always really fun. The big dream, what is the big thing look like? So I like the enthusiasm and the creativity. And yeah, just there's this little space in kind of the mental health supports world that I've known it's been there for a very long time. It's starting to get some attention, but that truly is the supports for families. Like, you know, whether it's a trip to Emerge, whether it's a long-term commitment to support someone through wellness, through to wellness and beyond, right? Mental health is fluid, like physical health. The supports for the family were so absent, and you don't know that. Like, the world doesn't know that until you need it and you go looking for it and you're shocked it's not there. Mm-hmm. I've had this conversation so many times with people. They had no idea what was not there. So, you know, and putting that spin where the support for family doesn't come from that clinical model, but it comes from the true peer support, lived experience. I've walked this, and here's how I got through it, and here's something to think about. May or may not work for you, but I get it. Oh my gosh, like if we had that a number of years ago when I was isolating and struggling with shame and grasping for anything, it just simply would have changed the story. So, you know, mental health is changing a lot, the attention that it's getting, mm-hmm. The last, I'd say, 8 years, but the last 2 years. And I have to say, Charlotte was ahead of this because she's been screaming this chat for a long time. Where's the support for families? So we're just starting to see, strong organizations looking for that. And I am so excited because it's going to change lives.
Oh, most definitely. And on that point, too, is that even the healthcare system, too, has to change because it has to allow to support mental health issues. And I mean, Cynthia's nodding her head because, I mean, our health has changed totally in the last 2 years, totally changed. And I think moving forward, I mean, mental health has got to be, I'm going to say number one or number two, just for to be on healthcare and to list the services and to include the families. And also, I think employers and even looking at HR and everything like that, sure, you can have your wellness and health programs for your employees, but your employees spend 8 hours or 9 hours in their workplace and then they go home. There's no support for the people living at home. There's no support for their partner or their children too. So I think everything has to be looked at as a whole. And didn't we also talk about life being a circle? You know, it encompasses everything.
And I just wanted to also, I think this is an important point to make because I got challenged on this in a conversation, actually with a good friend of mine the other night. And I didn't realize that through what I was sharing, I was not getting this point across. There are some amazing folks committed and wonderful people within the system. The system is fractured. Mm-hmm. It's not a reflection. I have met some amazing all-in people that are... are just so committed and to what they do, but it's the system mm-hmm. that needs the attention. And I'm going to be more conscious when I speak so passionately moving forward because she wasn't hearing that. And that's an important part. I met some amazing people in the system.
Yeah, no, definitely. All right, Miss Rana, History 101. This is a very important day for you.
Well, yeah, so it's interesting. So it's our fasting month. So Ramadan Mubarak, everyone, all my fellow bros and sisters who are fasting today or tomorrow. So there's some places who are fasting today. They're starting their first fast today. Some are starting their first fast tomorrow because it's based on the sighting of the moon for the new year, for the new mm-hmm. month. We find out kind of later in the night. So I actually did start my fast today. I'm not sure if it's actually going to fall into the one of the 30, but it's an extra fast and I'm more than happy to do it. So yeah, I'm actually fasting today. It's so amazing. I was so looking forward to this month again. But yeah, I think most people kind of, have a general idea that Muslims fast. It's one of the, one of the five pillars of stuff that we do. We fast for a month. from sunrise to sunset every single day for 30 days. And that's kind of one component of it. I think that's the part that everyone really focuses on, but it's a whole bunch of other things too, right? It's, you know, watching your language, watching your thoughts, spending time in meditation and prayer, you know, self-controlling, you know, like if you're triggered by something, trying to kind of, you know, bring yourself back to the current moment. And so it's a really healing time for a lot of us. And then just, it's just a really important time for charities and giving and making sure that we're kind of recognizing our place in the world and the universe, right? Like you're so effective, but really so little in a lot of ways, right? Like we have to kind of make some big moves sometimes and really put ourselves out there to help people. So yeah, that's the big long and the short of it. I'm not hungry yet. First fasts are always very hard. At the first week, you know, you get some serious hangry.
but I was on Google and there's some very beautiful and delicious dishes though that you can have right after, right?
Oh, yeah.
So are you eating at 4 a.m. in the morning or what? Or
Oh yeah. So I guess it's before the morning prayer. So morning prayers are probably like at 5 a.m. So we get up normally at 5 a.m. for morning prayers, but like this is probably you basically have to have any food or water or anything in you by like, I would say like 4:30-ish in the morning, but it changes every day, right? Yeah. So the days get longer, your fast gets longer. So ultimately you're fasting between 16 to 18 hours by the end of your 30 days. So it's pretty, but you start to like get used more used to it and your body adjusts as it is. You get more energy. It's just like intermittent fasting, you know, mm-hmm. like once you start intermittent fasting, as you get to the fifth or sixth day, you really do start to see all the benefits and the detox. But yes, the food. So what's really sad, and you know, I think it's kind of important to acknowledge that this is our second Ramzan without family, right? Mm-hmm. We're not doing iftars, we're not doing the mosque, we're not doing anything. We haven't had any celebrations at all. This is really, you know, and this is a big one. This one, and for Shia, this the Muharram, like we actually haven't had that at all. And I think going into your second year without that, and it being such a time of family and people coming together and community coming together and charity and giving and, you know, breaking bread together and eating all these delicious foods. This time it kind of hurts, right? This time it kind of sucks for sure. Like this time people are really feeling it. There's definitely a damper in morale a bit here.
Yeah. So Rana, like in other countries too that are doing this right now, everybody keeps on their normal daily lives. Like they go to work, they're doing everything, kids go to school, whatever. And then, but then how do you then, I mean, there has to be some more of a spiritual or family gathering or then afterwards you would gather with families and it would be, you know, yeah, getting together, I see, and sort of helping each other.
Yeah, and I think, but like, don't forget, people talk about the morning. Like, people always talk about the breaking of the fast, but don't forget the mornings. Like, when we were kids, you know, when we were kids, like the morning was as big as the breaking, right? Because everyone's downstairs, whether you're fasting or not, everyone's cooking together, you know, everybody's excited, who's gonna do the best thing? Like, you know, it's a really fun act, and especially for kids, right? Because you have your entire family downstairs at 3 a.m. cooking and cooking like food that you would never normally eat at breakfast. Like you're talking like, you know, like top of the line, like gourmet meals, right? Just because it's fun, right? And then just the cooking together and all that stuff and just getting excited together. And yeah, so in our family, when we were younger, it was always both. Mm-hmm. Like I thought the mornings were always as exciting as the breaking of the fast, the morning getting together and cooking. So, and the food for the morning is as fun as food at night, right? So, you know, we'd always have like dates and like, you know, just really like, rose water is really a huge one, and like, you know, all those amazing like biryanis and rice and curries and all that fun stuff. So yeah, it's pretty amazing, and it's pretty fun, but definitely feeling the emptiness a bit this year, you know. So
and how
but I think I just want to kind of talk about one little part about it, because I know that people always have like questions about it, you know, like And I think that just like some basic before you even ask questions, like, no, like there's no, like, it's no water. It's a completely dry fast. There's no water. There's no gum. There's no, like, there's literally nothing going into your mouth at all during that time. People always ask the question, well, what if you're sick or what if you're pregnant? You're not obligated if you're below puberty, like if you're younger, like if you're just a kid, you're obviously not going to be, it's not obligated on you. It's not obligated if you're sick or if you're a pregnant woman. It's not obligated on you if you're traveling or if it's completely unheard of. This isn't like torture yourself and do it. Like, it's an obligation. It's an obligation to your faith. Mm-hmm. So we do it. And if you're able to do it, you can do it. People like us, like, I always try to do one for my dad. Like, I'll do it for myself and I'll, you know, send the benefit to my dad. You know, did this first fast. I always think of like those who've left us and our ancestors and try to send them like some of the love and the benefits of it as well. So it's very, very communal. It's a beautiful thing. And I appreciate the fact that there's so many other cultures and faiths and traditions that have seen the value of fasting. Of the value of limiting yourself and, you know, restricting yourself in some way to remember other people. I know there's a lot of people who do it. I know a lot of indigenous cultures fast days before sundance. It's beautiful, you know, but they go 4 days straight. So it's really amazing. So it's pretty cool. And I'm doing one right now. So you guys are going to see as the days go on, how does she unfold?
Yes, I know. We'll just do this little documentary every week. So how are you?
Yeah. No, what time is it right now? I'm pretty good right now.
No, you're pretty good right now. It's only noon. Yeah. Okay. And next time we won't come with drinks or anything like that. No.
No. I mean, I shut down completely. Like I really am probably more in this age than when I was younger, but I really I think that there's so many benefits in faith for the month, and there's so many things that you can think back in the year about, you know, have you ever said anything or did anything to hurt somebody or said a word that may have offended somebody. It's really nice to have that time, and I think it's really good for just humanity generally to reflect on things that we do sometimes, because it's really easy to just bury it in your subconscious or your conscious and forget about it and become immune to the fact that your actions have consequences, you know. And I think that having a moment and a allocated time where you're really going to think about what have you really done this past year? Have you done good? Have you benefited your world or your society? Have you benefited yourself and your family as a human being? When you had the opportunity, were you selfless, right? And a lot of the faith and a lot of what we do is about being selfless, mm-hmm. right? Like, it is just about, you know, you're open, like you're free. You just give as much as you can. So it's nice to have those memories. And I love when people ask the questions, and I get a lot of questions because I kind of remind people of that part of it too, is that it doesn't have to be a certain month, but we can always remember and reflect on what we did yesterday. And at the end of the night, like, do we feel good about our day, right? Do we feel good about everything we said and everything we did? And maybe there's somebody we need to apologize to or hug, yes. you know, or whatever. So that's my big spiel about that.
Well, no, and no, but it's fascinating to learn more about this. And so at the end of the month, do you personally feel different, Rana?
Oh, absolutely. I feel after my first, like, I'll tell you, I flew out of bed this morning excited. Like, it was 3 a.m. and I flew out. I'm like, woo! Like, I was pumped. I was super excited. I feel it right after the first fast break. Like, right after tonight, I'm in the zone. But I'm also, I think that, you know, it's really interesting. I think people have a lot of misconceptions about people's different faiths, right? Like, for us, you know, when you pray 5 times a day, regardless of what your life is, you could be in the middle of a meeting, I'm walking out and I'm doing my prayer, right? Every single time I do that, it cleanses me. And again, like, you know, you clean your ears, you clean your mouth, you clean your face, you clean your hands. And it's just a cleansing of anything negative and anything that you may have attracted and you want to kind of let go. But when you sit down to pray those 5 times every day, no matter what, obligatory, like, you can't, you shouldn't, you know, people do, I used to, but even those 5 times, like, it's still the same feeling, mm-hmm. right? it's kind of like that feeling of, okay, this is my moment. This is my, like, you know, 12 minutes of prayer. I'm just going to, you know, remember, think, kind of do what I have to do. So it's similar to that feeling, but it's a bit extra. There's a little bit of extra when you're fasting because you get all that fun, plus the other part of it where you're like, wow, I made it through something. But then there's also the part where you're like, wow, there's people every single day who don't have the opportunity to open it. You know, we actually have the blessing and the amazing kind of life given to us that at the end of a day, I can struggle all day, but at the end, I know I get to open it. I get food downstairs, mm-hmm. right? And there's so many people who don't get that. So it's also that reminder. And then it's that reminder when you're having that thought, you have to be like, what do I have to give? You know, mm-hmm. what can I do to help my community? What can I do to give? You know, and for me, I just, whenever I drive around, I'm just giving, you know, I have a thing in my car. People make fun of me all the time. And I just take it out of my thing. And I just, anyone I see, I'm just passing it out. And I really just don't even count it. But that's how it is. So there's a lot of facets to it. And it's not really like a one conversation thing, because it's so multidimensional. And it means a lot of different things to different people. But the important part is it's a beautiful time. You know, if you see somebody fasting, you know, it's okay to ask, you know, it's okay to eat in front of people. It's okay to, you know, do whatever you're doing. I think sometimes people feel uncomfortable when somebody's fasting and they're like, oh, what did I do or say? Like, what's the protocol? There is no protocol. You know, just be respectful about it. Just mm-hmm. be like, okay, cool. Like, you know, people love talking about it because it's been a lot of decades that we never mm-hmm. really got to talk about it, right? It was like this thing you just kind of did in your house. So ask the questions. And I know that a lot of people from our community would love to share and would love to tell you at the end what they feel like and what transformations they feel at the end of it. So, yeah.
That would be beautiful.
You know, there's a lot of really interesting things that that happen to your body when you're fasting. I don't know if for people who've intermittent fasted, you'll know, right? There's just a lot of crazy things that happen to your body. Like, I gain so much energy by the fifth day. Like, it's crazy. Like, you're not eating, but you're just like just running, because your body's just like using all the bad stuff, and you're just detoxing. And yeah, it's really, really cool. So for those people who intermittent fast, that's what I used to intermittent fast too. Like, it's a really cool thing to do. It really does benefit your body in a lot of ways. And there's scientific proof to that, right? And fasting itself, there is scientific proof to why people fast and the benefits of fasting for prolonged period of times, as long as you kind of either have some sustenance when you need, you know, mm-hmm. And that's what we get it in the evenings. Okay, yeah.
Well, we're going to see you transform into something other than.
Other than a little attitude? No, just kidding.
Oh, my goodness. And welcome, Susie. So good to see you. 60th show. Yes, and talking about Ramadan.
Good morning, I know. Afternoon.
And, you know, snow, you know, the usual.
It's okay. It's all for the farmers. The farmers need it. It's all good.
I know. Yes. And it will go. It will go.
Exactly. Yes.
So do you think that you could do something like that, Ramadan?
Well, I think, you know, like Catholics during Lent, we mm-hmm. are called to do the same thing. And it's not new or unusual for mm-hmm. Catholics to undertake the Lenten fast and things like that and that sort of thing. I think what is interesting, because I'm listening to Rana, you know, describe this thing, and it's just like every major religion has this type of thing. And, you know, you look at things like mindfulness and meditation, and it's just like those are all things that people have been doing for ancient times, you know, like this is not anything new age or anything like that. These are all things that are meant to bring us closer to the being or creator, or however you want to look at it, that we come from. And mm-hmm. all of those things are meant to settle our physical, you know, bodies, our mental distractions, and to bring us right back to who we are and what we come from. And regardless of what religion you practice, there is absolutely some kind of facet of that calls you to be mindful of this, it's not a process, but this ritual, this tradition. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's something like Rana said, as you get older, you understand more how important these rituals are. And when you were a kid, you know, you didn't necessarily pay attention or even think it was that important. But as you get older and more maybe mindful of your mortality and your place in the universe, perhaps these rituals have more meaning and you're able to see them in a different light as well.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know, they say people, you should not talk about religion and politics, but okay, I'm going to try it. I'm going to go to Susan, because Susan, I always ask you the hard question. How important is it now for family, if we're talking about the family, and young people or single people to have religion in their life?
Well, I would say that's a good question. I would say that it's very important to have spirituality in your life. I think mm-hmm. depending on how religion works for you and your family and what rules and guidance and must do and must not do works, I've always thought of it more as a spiritual connection and how each individual will then have and develop that connection. So I do think it's very important. I think it's important to be connected to something much bigger than ourselves, because then there's so much benefit to that. And even if you look at some of the studies that have been done in terms of how this boosts our health and well-being, for example, of the 12 activities that you do to boost your happiness, one of those is increasing your spirituality and increasing that connection. So there's a lot of benefit to that. For families, I think it's really important, especially we're all spending so much time together, and how mm-hmm. can we move through this time in a way that is beneficial to each other, but also to realize that this experience is much bigger than, you know, what we're going through day to day. It's a much broader experience than that. So how important is it? It's very important. But I also think that it's important to recognize and support each other in our own spiritual or religious journey, because we're not always all going to go down the same path, and to have that respect and curiosity mm-hmm. to learn a little bit more. So yeah, good question.
No, and definitely I think that's the key part of it. Now, Cynthia, I mean, in England, I mean, yes, church that's been an ongoing yeah. ongoing, I guess, battle.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, growing up in originally Belfast, mm-hmm. Northern Ireland, and in fact that the whole concept was you know, what ended up causing us to leave Northern Ireland was because of, quote, the differences. You know, I like to call that my first transition in life, was really, you know, dealing with that aspect and coming from that Irish Protestant background. But when I got married, I became a Roman Catholic, even taught catechism, and I found that now I no longer affiliate my set of beliefs with any of the organized religions. And so I see myself, you know, as Susan said, as a spiritual person. And that is a collective of a number of beliefs that deal with it. I think it's less of an issue in England than it is in, you know, in Ireland, where even recently there have been flare-ups. And the flare-ups they talk about have occurred at that point between, quote, the separation of the two religious communities. So it still is prevalent. And the whole idea is to try and find, you know, ways to go forward, which I hate to say it, is, you know, it is really trying to find a way to accept it, because acceptance is a great way when people have differences to find some way to come together and, you know, to move forward with that. So, yeah, that's the perspective from over here, at least.
Yes. Well,
I think it's really important to note that when it comes to any of these rituals or however you want to phrase that piece, whether it's Ramadan, whether it's Lent, whether it's, I'm not sure what the Jewish equivalent would be, but, you know, the thing that is preached throughout those rituals is that these things are not for show. Mm-hmm. They are not for show at all. These are things that are supposed to be private and that are between you and whoever, whichever God you subscribe to, that these are not things meant to be, in the social media age that we live in, It's not something that you do for the gram, right, Rana? Like this is a peaceful, personal, quiet ritual that you do for yourself to bring yourself closer to the god or goddess, whatever that you subscribe to. And I find that it's really, thank you, Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Charlotte. Atonement, right? Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. All of those things are not meant for this social media age, and they are meant to be sacred and private. And I think that that's really important, because one of the things that I find so, it's a turnoff for organized religion is it's all for show, you know? And the thing that's important, I think, is that it's not what you do when everyone's watching, it's what you do when no one's watching that's important. And these private rituals that are between you and your spiritual guide, whatever that, whoever that might be, those are the things that are really important and are that that bring you closer to who you're meant to be, not the stuff that you do publicly or for show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only other part of it that the add on to that is there are parts that are community, right? So there's a communal part of it where everybody does. Before COVID, there would be hundreds of people at a mosque breaking fast together across the world, right? Like, it's not just here, it's everywhere in the world. So there is that part of it too. So
you know what I mean, though, Ron? It's 100% of it.
Totally. I'll tell you something really funny. And this is my own personal thing. And I, please don't be offended by this. If anyone's watching and they're like, whatever. I don't like it when people like post pictures of prayer, like when they're praying. So we have prayer mats and beads, right? So I really, it irks me when people post pictures of prayers, like when they're doing their prayers. So I'm just like, why do you have your phone with you? Like, what are you even doing? That stuff is completely, I totally understand. You know, I think that I totally agree with Susie, right? Like, it's not like, you know, here's a selfie of me, you know, breaking my, like, no, right? Like, if you're communally enjoying the family time and enjoying that part of it, it's a totally different scenario. But I completely agree with Susie, because it takes away from the beauty of it, unless there's a component that is out there for teaching. You know, mm-hmm. that you have other people asking you questions and you're like, here, this is how we cook the foods, this is how we gather. Then that's a totally different thing, because that's just, we live in a world where everyone loves to, hopefully we want to learn about each other and live communally in a nice world with happiness. So sometimes there's that part of it. But I totally agree with Susie. It drives me bananas. Bonkers.
But that, you know, spilling off on what you said, Rana, is like, so I'm always thinking about shows, but... So I'm thinking, looking at all those incredible pictures of food and what you do for, you know, during Ramadan, and Susie too, I mean, you know, of all the different ethnic foods and stuff like that. So, and it has been done. There's been, you know, if you think about cooking shows, but if you did a show featuring all of these special dishes that are done only on these certain occasions or these rituals to learn more about them, would that not maybe open the doors for at least more people to be educated, number one?
Oh, yeah.
And not say, yeah. Ew, you're starving yourself for a month. That's crazy. And not,
I totally agree with Rana in the sense of that, you know, when it comes to educating people or answering questions, mm-hmm. mine is about the intent. That's all. It's the intent behind it and why you're sharing it. If you're sharing it to make yourself look good and to say, oh, in this social media age, it just seems so, you know what I'm saying, right?
I'm 100% just that, I get you. I have the same.
It's the intent. It's always about intent and context for me.
Yeah.
So in fact, has social media spoiled the whole spiritual world and intent for?
Social media spoiled a lot of things.
But can I just talk about the food part for a second? So,
I don't want to make you hungry.
Okay, so I'm just going to be super like blunt. Okay. So I, you know, and it's a funny thing. And I always talk about my non-brown friends about this stuff because I make fun of them extensively because it's really funny to me. So our day in our, every single day in our houses, in our families, we literally eat like that all the time. So there's lunch downstairs and it's not like, that's how we eat. That is normal. So I get it. I get when people like look at kind of like iftar, like, you know, plates and they're like, oh, that's a lot of food and blah, blah. And then in my head, I'm just like, well, we just had that last. Like, it's more the eating together part of it than the actual dishes, because the dishes are pretty much in rotation all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So, and those of us, you know, those of you who know, like, I mean, we have a lot of very delicious, savory, great food, you know, and my favorite in the city, East India Company, does the best job, in my opinion, of keeping it as homely as possible. But as amazing as the dishes look, just always keep in mind, we probably had it last night before fasting anyways. Like, we're just those people. We like to eat a lot.
So that's why you just have 1 month of fasting.
Yeah. That's probably why we need it. Just kidding. Yeah.
Oh my
There's
goodness.
All the good food. Now you guys got to take a break for a month.
Oh, Ali, I know that you put something in our chat. Is that just for us?
No, we can share that.
Okay, well, I'll let you do the honors.
Yes, so I am super excited. Like I said, the six areas and six leaves all have charities attached to those six leaves. So they will be, and if you actually pay attention on social media, you can see which charities have been sharing it and see other things, so you can probably piece it together.
Yeah.
But with that being said, our mental health recipient, of course, we're going to be supporting KidThink, but as well, our mental health recipient is going to be Peer Connections Manitoba. And I'll say that today because we have peer support workers on here and for the 60th show. So I'm super excited about that. I'm excited to learn so much more just about the organization myself and see how we can support it, not just from a financial standpoint, but also as somebody who does peer support work and values it so very much in my own life. I'm incredibly excited.
Oh, now that's fantastic. Great news. Well, and congratulations to Peer Connections to Manitoba and to Charlotte and Kirsten. So much great work. So I am going to switch it up, though, to family, because this seems to be a lot what we're talking about with Rana's celebrating Ramadan. And also this to Kirsten and to Susie, just noticing again, Kirsten, you had said, yeah, people are just like at that little end. I'm noticing that a lot too in young kids and teens. Not obviously personally myself, but I've had stories and, you know, and my sister-in-law was over and she's just saying that, you know, yeah, she's got one that's doing really well, but she's like more of an introvert, so she's just loaded her stuff or her schedule up with activities from sewing to cooking and everything. And but then she has an older son, and you know, it's just those days where they get down and you know, they just say, I don't like this anymore. So not that I, you know, it's, but you know what, I woke up this morning, I'm looking outside and it's just like, but you know, this is a little different feeling. Just sort of, I guess, let's switch the topic up a little bit on how to communicate and how to be positive. I know, Susan, I mean, okay, I'll go Susan first. I mean, you're talking too about ways to find happiness, how to get out of that negative feeling.
Oh, well, that's a good question. I actually was feeling pandemic out Sunday and yesterday and today, so I can totally relate to that. And I know that some of the things that I do for myself, or I choose to do, is to engage in activities that start to boost that positive energy. Dancing is a perfect one, or exercise of any kind, reaching out to other people and connecting with them, because we can be so busy in our day-to-day getting everything done that we lose touch with people. On the introverted side, you know, I'm a little more comfortable with doing a lot of stuff on my own, but I know that people who are certainly more extroverted really need to have that energy from others. So reaching out, just to even have a casual conversation over Zoom and to be with someone through a screen is better than nothing, right? So that's one of the things to do. And then from there to, you know, do things that can bring you positive energy and start that upward spiral of sort of more of a positive uplift. Certainly avoiding, I wouldn't say avoiding, but not completely bathing all day in the social media and the news and the negative stuff. I mean, yes, there's certain information that we need to get, and yes, we need to continue to play a part in society in that way, but we don't need to spend all of our time within that. And particularly right before bed, great time to, you know, shift gears and just do some light reading or something fun and first thing in the morning. Yeah, I mean, it's a time to do self-care and engage with society and do all those things too. But mm-hmm. to be our best for others, we really have to do that self-care, I think, first. So,
yeah, no, true. Susie, on the family end, I'm sure you're going through it too with your kids too.
Yeah, refresh my memory on your take about it, though, Tracy. I wasn't sure what you were trying to.
Yeah, I guess I was convoluted a little bit away,
but okay.
I guess how to communicate to, you know, family members, whether it be your own kids or whether it's, you know, a relative that's just feeling down. And I mean, we're all kind of in it, but we all deal with it differently.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because I find that I'm the one who's not doing well these days. I'm the one who's struggling. And I think that there's a certain part of that that means being honest with your, mm-hmm. with your, you know, immediate family, especially ones that you live with, that that's exactly what you're going through and that that is okay. And giving your kids, especially, the language to express themselves if that is exactly what they're feeling too. And I feel like this week, last week, end of last week, this week especially, is hard because we're seeing numbers go up. We are possibly going to be facing more restrictions. Vaccinations are not going as quickly as they could. There's a lot of things hitting that pandemic wall this week, I feel. And I would definitely say that I have lost sleep over it in the last week, and I have felt stress about it in the last week. And that, along with just the regular day-to-day changes and things that are happening, right? So I think being honest and taking time for yourself too, like saying, you know, to your kids, can we do a quiet activity, you know, for the next little bit? Because I can't have noise, or I just need to have some quiet, or, you know, maybe we can split up in separate rooms and then reconvene, you know, for dinner or whatever it might be. I think that really just being honest, you know me, Tracy, I'm mm-hmm. always about, you know, just saying it as it is. It's so much more helpful that way, to live in the reality of what's happening and not what we envision things should be. Mm-hmm. But that giving yourself permission gives your kids permission to do that too. And especially because they might not have the language to convey how it is that they're feeling, I think it's just really important. So, and to be gentle. We've said this since our first show, you know, Tracy,
yes.
to be gentle and compassionate with yourself and for others right now. But it also goes back to if there's something that you can do for somebody, right? When I feel helpless, I find that the way out of that is to do something helpful for somebody else, whatever that might be. So I had an experience like that on the weekend, and it was a small gesture for me, but it was such a great gesture for the person that I was doing it for. And they were so, you know, so grateful, and it made their week, they said, you know. And it's just like, oh my gosh, like that was a bright spot in an otherwise, you know, mascara streaked day. So, so yes, that was a really good thing to do, but there's so many, challenges that we're going through right now. The weather is not helping. I will definitely give you that. If you're in Winnipeg, the weather's not helping. But, you know, telling ourselves that this too shall pass, and nothing is forever. So we can get through this. We can get through just the next hour, just the next day. It doesn't even have to be longer than that right now. Just give yourself those little chunks and those little, you know, pieces that you can deal with in a realistic and timely fashion.
No.
And to be gentle with yourself. You don't have to be Superwoman or Superman or super anything right now. You just have to be super you, you know, to you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Well, that's great information. Kirsten, too, on the family end, is communication. I mean, sometimes when you're feeling blah, like we're all like are, you just shut down. Like, you don't want to talk. You don't want to do anything.
Yeah, and you know, Charlotte put a great little note in the chat as well. It's about validating and exploring what works for your child and having those curious conversations. But, you know, my head goes back to our teenagers, our adolescents. A lot of them are struggling right now. I mean, their world has been so restricted beyond, and the normality is it's been going on a long time, and connection and things that fill your heart, fill your soul, laughter, movement. I mean, these are things that are out of their control right now. As adults, we have a lifetime of experience that we have gone through heavy times as adults, and we've built skills, and I think most of us have built some resilience. So when it comes to our family, especially our young adults, our teenagers, I hope we can be patient, just like Susie said. You know, change our expectations, have curious conversations, ask what things look like for them, ask how they're doing. Don't assume anything. Don't put them into a category. Dig a little deeper through open-ended, non-conflict language. And what an opportunity to really, really connect. And let them know, as Susie was saying, be really real and honest. It's okay not to be okay. One thing I wanted to share is I have a dear friend, her name's Ramona, and she did a baby shower this weekend. And sorry, not a baby shower, a wedding shower. And I'm like, how the heck did you pull off a wedding shower? She got really creative, and she did a scavenger hunt. And at each spot, there were people waiting for gifts. And that person who was presenting the gift got in return a little mimosa kit and a charcuterie box. And at 7 o'clock that night, they all met on Zoom and celebrated what was shared. And I mean, I hope we can get creative with our families. And, you know, I just thought that was so brilliant. And try not to, I think the worst thing that can happen is we all start to fall into that rut and isolating within our own home. Mm-hmm. Stay connected. Charlotte, I'm going to pass that over to you because you're always so insightful.
And I would just add that I just found that with a lot of parents that we're talking to, it's those times when you're so tired and you're so exhausted, is those moments when your children come and want to have a conversation with their struggles. And no matter how tired or exhausted you are, those are the times where you have the most connection with them. And my hope is that you'll take those moments and have a conversation and not belittle or, you know, but really listen and validate, because you know, so many parents are like saying, well, you could have it so much worse, or, you know, this isn't going to be forever, and you know, get over it. And it's really real for them, and they're really wanting to communicate and talk about it. And by shutting them down, it just can add to the stress and the anxiety that the children are feeling. We've got some great toolkits that we can offer, talking notes for parents. And like always, you'll reach out to us at All In. And I'll put Kirsten, put your email in the chat, because so many times just giving them a couple of ideas and how to start that conversation or how to validate how they're feeling can just make a huge difference. We get emails and texts all the time saying, oh my God, you guys, just those few different ways of talking has made a total difference in our house. So, yeah, and I love your bow. I'm having a squirrel moment. I love your red bow.
Oh, it's my, you know, one thing to perk myself up with. And that, yeah, that looks actually, it did a pretty good bow, I must say. No. Oh, and Allie, too, I just noticed, too, in your sidebar. Sorry, I'm looking at chats now, too, because I feel like I'm always trying to start the conversation. I don't get to see all the whole conversation. But, no, I mean, yeah, I know a time to connect with your siblings and to make sure. And, you know, I know, and even though, like, we're all kind of not be able to see each other, I know that we're all busy doing all of our things. I know, Cynthia, you're so busy and, you know, doing presentations and everything, and you get so wrapped up in your bubble. Like, in Allie, you could probably know, too, for planning this whole event for the last 2 months, this has been, like, your world, and we kind of still tend to forget that there are other people in our own world. So on that note, let us not only think of ourselves, but also give time to be good to ourselves and take time for care. And Rana, we are with you all the way for these 30 days each week. I want to see you with that same energy, girl. And I know, and I want to have all of you back because I really want to talk more about the vaccines and not only the negative part of it, but yeah, like how it could be so much better. But actually, there's a new organization, not so new, but a new project initiative called, I think it's called hashtag Save Manitoba at savemb.ca is the website, savemb.ca. So it's all, it's a kind of a communications marketing. They want to, you know, get stories from people on how their vaccination went, why they're getting vaccinations, you know, and everything like that. And it's the whole kind of, again, I don't know if it's a controversy anymore, but in our old days, there were controversies about getting children's vaccinations and stuff like that. And obviously, we're facing a totally different situation that involves all of us. And so, Cynthia, would love to have you back too, because there are people that are refusing not to get the vaccine. And what does that look like? And yeah, there's a lot of questions. So I'm going to try to get someone on from this SaveManitoba.ca organization. Okay? So on that note...
We also just draw attention to the fact that Manitoba teachers are trying to advocate right now to have teachers put on a priority list.
Yes.
And I don't know how, but I'm at, like, can we ask people to support mm-hmm. the teachers who are asking for this? They're in front of hundreds of students a day. It is completely absurd.
Well, yeah.
That teachers are not on a priority list. And honestly, it's a disaster waiting to happen. And if this government chooses to continue to ignore it, literally people are going to die. Mm-hmm. There's students who just, no matter how young or old they are, kids sometimes just don't listen. Like, mm-hmm. we all know this, mm-hmm. you know? And it's going to be one teacher coming home, infecting their entire family, infecting their husband going to their work, and it's just going to be an out-of-control situation. So there's no reason that people like a massage therapist or whatever else, no offense, love them, are getting vaccinated, but it's a choice. Teachers are essential workers. You're not giving them a choice to stay home. Let's just remember that. They got to go. So let's make them a priority. Let's make sure if they want their vaccination, they are getting it. So there's Manitoba teachers. Please just retweet them. If you see them online, retweet them, share their post. Just show solidarity for them because they honestly, we all need to get together and make sure that happens now because it is incredible that this is even happening right now.
Well, and that's a good conversation. No, and then there's a few other, you know, workers that aren't yet even too. So I'm not too sure. The teachers are a huge one, and they should have been.
Yeah.
They should have been done a long time ago when schools came back, opened. That should have been.
Or else they should have a choice not to be able, or they should be allowed to not go basically without losing their jobs.
Yeah.
If you're going to put them in that type of line of fire, then they should be able to protect their family and not go.
Yes.
Without being terminated.
So basically. Would your sister, is it your sister or your brother-in-law that are teachers? They're both.
Yeah.
But they're both teaching. But
they're not vaccinated. They're not vaccinated. And my sister is, I mean, you know what? Like they love their jobs and they don't really complain about it. Right. But I know that the amount of stress on them and on their colleagues is incredible, especially if you have, a group of students who literally just, I mean, teachers are always in a shitty situation, right? They can't really discipline anyone because the parents come and they're like, well, you should have never told my kid what not to do. Like, they're stuck between a rock and a hard place all the time because parents want teachers to basically discipline your kids. You don't want to teach your kids what not to do at home. So now you're stuck in a situation where maybe there's kids who aren't following the rules, but it's also just teachers amongst themselves, right? Like, you really want that safety when you're forced to be around so many people all the time. Every day, day in, day out.
So, well, I don't know if I can find a teacher to join us because they're all teaching. but certainly, let me look into it. Maybe somebody from the Manitoba Teacher Society would like to come on.
Definitely. If you can find somebody, even just, I forgot his name, but he's the president of the Manitoba Teachers. I think he would have a lot of, at least tell us how we can help as allies or supporters. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Because I don't even know how to help, right? And I don't know if any of us know what to do. So maybe he can give us direction of what they actually need.
Okay. Well, that's my assignment for next week. Okay. Well, enjoy. Well, all of you here in Winnipeg, enjoy the snow. Cynthia, don't even say about what flowers are in bloom. I don't want to hear it. And enjoy your Tuesday. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Allie, for coming on.
Bye, Allie.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, Cynthia.
Thanks, bye, Tracy. Susan. Bye, bye, Kristen. Bye, Charlotte. Bye, Cynthia. Bye,
Rana. I love Leaf.
Thanks for listening. This has been a production of ilikehugh.com. Podcast distribution from the Sound Off Media Company.
Hi, this is Candace Sampson, the voice behind What She Said. My show is your destination for stories that not only entertain, but also educate and empower. Every week, I spotlight strong female voices from across Canada. Women who are changing the narrative and driving change. Don't miss out on these inspiring episodes. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Music, or head over to whatshesaidtalk.com.
What She Said can also be heard on blasttheradio.com, Mondays at 5 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. That's blasttheradio.com.
It's time to dive into the stories that truly matter.
Hi, I'm Connie Thiessen, the host of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. We focus on Canada and the challenges facing Canadian radio and TV, as well as highlighting those moving the industry forward from podcasting and streaming to new broadcast tech. Check us out at BroadcastDialogue.com or your favorite podcast app.
Another Sound Off Media Company podcast.